Householders, Part 1, translated by Bhikkhu Sujato. With Uga of Wasali. At one time, the Buddha was staying near Wasali at the great wood in the hall with the peaked roof. There, the Buddha addressed the mendicants. Mendicants, you should remember the householder Uga of Wasali as someone who has 8 amazing and incredible qualities. That is what the Buddha said. When he had spoken, the Holy One got up from his seat and entered his dwelling. Then a certain mendicant robed up in the morning and, taking his bowl and robe, went to the home of the householder Uga of Wasali, where he sat on the seat spread out. Then Uga of Wasali went up to that mendicant, bowed, and sat down to one side. The mendicant said to him, Householder, the Buddha declared that you have 8 amazing and incredible qualities. What are the 8 qualities that he spoke of? Sir, I don't know what 8 amazing and incredible qualities the Buddha was referring to, but these 8 amazing and incredible qualities are found in me. Listen and apply your mind well. I will speak. Yes, householder, replied the mendicant. Uga of Wasali said this. Sir, when I first saw the Buddha off in the distance, my heart was inspired as soon as I saw him. This is the first incredible and amazing quality found in me. With confident heart I paid homage to the Buddha. The Buddha taught me step by step, with a talk on giving, ethical conduct, and heaven. He explained the drawbacks of sensual pleasures, so sordid and corrupt, and the benefit of renunciation. And when he knew that my mind was ready, pliable, rid of hindrances, elated, and confident, he explained the special teaching of the Buddhas, suffering, its origin, its cessation, and the path. Just as a clean cloth rid of stains would properly absorb dye, in that very seat the stainless, immaculate vision of the Dhamma arose in me. Everything that has a beginning has an end. I saw, attained, understood, and fathomed the Dhamma. I went beyond doubt, got rid of indecision, and became self-assured and independent of others regarding the teacher's instructions. Right there I went for refuge to the Buddha, his teaching, and the Sangha, and I undertook the 5 training rules with celibacy as the 5th. This is the 2nd incredible and amazing quality found in me. I had 4 teenage wives, and I went to them and said, Sisters, I've undertaken the 5 training rules with celibacy as 5th. If you wish, you may stay here, enjoy my wealth, and do good deeds, or you can return to your own families. Or would you prefer if I gave you to another man? When I said this, my eldest wife said to me, Mister, please give me to such and such a man. Then I summoned that man. Taking my wife with my left hand and a ceremonial vase with my right, I presented her to that man with the pouring of water. But I can't recall getting upset while giving away my teenage wife. This is the 3rd incredible and amazing quality found in me. And though my family has wealth, it's shared without reserve with ethical people of good character. This is the 4th incredible and amazing quality found in me. When I pay homage to a mendicant, I do so carefully, not carelessly. This is the 5th incredible and amazing quality found in me. If that venerable teaches me the Dhamma, I listen carefully, not carelessly. But if they don't teach me the Dhamma, I teach them. This is the 6th incredible and amazing quality found in me. It's not unusual for deities to come to me and announce, Householder, the Buddha's teaching is well explained. When they say this, I say to them, The Buddha's teaching is well explained, regardless of whether or not you deities say so. But I don't recall getting too excited by the fact that the deities come to me and I have a conversation with them. This is the seventh incredible and amazing quality found in me. Of the five lower fetters taught by the Buddha, I don't see any that I haven't given up. This is the eighth incredible and amazing quality found in me. These eight amazing and incredible qualities are found in me, but I don't know what eight amazing and incredible qualities the Buddha was referring to. Then that mendicant, after taking alms food in Ugga of Wasali's home, got up from his seat and left. Then after the meal, on his return from alms round, he went to the Buddha, bowed and sat down to one side. He informed the Buddha of all he had discussed with the householder Ugga of Wasali. The Buddha said, "Good, good mendicant. When I declared that the householder Ugga of Wasali was someone who has eight amazing and incredible qualities, I was referring to the same eight qualities that he rightly explained to you. You should remember the householder Ugga of Wasali as someone who has these eight amazing and incredible qualities." With Ugga of Elephant Village. At one time, the Buddha was staying in the land of the Wajis at Elephant Village. There the Buddha addressed the mendicants. "Mendicants, you should remember the householder Ugga of Elephant Village as someone who has eight amazing and incredible qualities." That is what the Buddha said. When he had spoken, the Holy One got up from his seat and entered his dwelling. Then a certain mendicant robed up in the morning and, taking his bowl and robe, went to the home of the householder Ugga of Elephant Village, where he sat on the seat spread out. Then Ugga of Elephant Village went up to that mendicant, bowed, and sat down to one side. The mendicant said to him, "Householder, the Buddha declared that you have eight amazing and incredible qualities. What are the eight qualities that he spoke of?" "Sir, I don't know what eight amazing and incredible qualities the Buddha was referring to, but these eight amazing and incredible qualities are found in me. Listen and apply your mind well. I will speak." "Yes, householder," replied the mendicant. Ugga of Elephant Village said this. "Sir, when I first saw the Buddha off in the distance, I was partying in the Dragon's Park. My heart was inspired as soon as I saw him, and I sobered up. This is the first incredible and amazing quality found in me. With confident heart I paid homage to the Buddha. The Buddha taught me step by step with a talk on giving, ethical conduct and heaven. He explained the drawbacks of sensual pleasures so sordid and corrupt and the benefit of renunciation. And when he knew that my mind was ready, pliable, rid of hindrances, elated, and confident, he explained the special teaching of the Buddhas, suffering, its origin, its cessation, and the path. Just as a clean cloth rid of stains would properly absorb dye, in that very seat the stainless, immaculate vision of the Dhamma arose in me. Everything that has a beginning has an end. I saw, attained, understood, and fathomed the Dhamma. I went beyond doubt, got rid of indecision, and became self-assured and independent of others regarding the teacher's instructions. Right there I went for refuge to the Buddha, his teaching, and the Sangha, and I undertook the five training rules, with celibacy as the fifth. This is the second incredible and amazing quality found in me. I had four teenage wives, and I went to them and said, 'Sisters, I've undertaken the five training rules with celibacy as fifth. If you wish, you may stay here, enjoy my wealth and do good deeds, or you can return to your own families, or would you prefer if I gave you to another man?' When I said this, my eldest wife said to me, 'Master, please give me to such and such a man.' Then I summoned that man. Taking my wife with my left hand and a ceremonial vase with my right, I presented her to that man with the pouring of water. But I can't recall getting upset while giving away my teenage wife. This is the third incredible and amazing quality found in me. And though my family has wealth, It's shared without reserve with ethical people of good character. This is the fourth incredible and amazing quality found in me. When I pay homage to a mendicant, I do so carefully, not carelessly. If that venerable teaches me the Dhamma, I listen carefully, not carelessly. But if they don't teach me the Dhamma, I teach them. This is the fifth incredible and amazing quality found in me. It's not unusual for deities to come to me when the Sangha has been invited and announce, householder, that mendicant is freed both ways. That one is freed by wisdom. That one is a direct witness. That one is attained to view. That one is freed by faith. That one is a follower of teachings. That one is a follower by faith. That one is ethical, of good character. That one is unethical, of bad character. But while I'm serving the Sangha, I don't recall thinking, let me give this one just a little, and that one a lot. Rather, I give impartially. This is the sixth incredible and amazing quality found in me. It's not unusual for deities to come to me and announce, householder, the Buddha's teaching is well explained. When they say this, I say to them, the Buddha's teaching is well explained, regardless of whether or not you deities say so. But I don't recall getting too excited by the fact that the deities come to me and I have a conversation with them. This is the seventh incredible and amazing quality found in me. If I pass away before the Buddha, it wouldn't be surprising if the Buddha declares of me, the householder Uga of Elephant Village is bound by no fetter that might return him to this world. This is the eighth incredible and amazing quality found in me. These eight amazing and incredible qualities are found in me, but I don't know what eight amazing and incredible qualities the Buddha was referring to. Then that mendicant, after taking alms food in Uga of Elephant Village's home, got up from his seat and left. Then, after the meal, on his return from alms round, he went to the Buddha, bowed, and sat down to one side. He informed the Buddha of all he had discussed with the householder, Uga of Elephant Village. The Buddha said, good, good mendicant. When I declared that the householder, Uga of Elephant Village, was someone who has eight amazing and incredible qualities, I was referring to the same eight qualities that he rightly explained to you. You should remember the householder, Uga of Elephant Village, as someone who has these eight amazing and incredible qualities. With Hattaka, first. At one time, the Buddha was staying near Alawi at the Agalava tree shrine. There, the Buddha addressed the mendicants. Mendicants, you should remember the householder Hattaka of Alawi as someone who has seven amazing and incredible qualities. What seven? He's faithful, ethical, conscientious, prudent, learned, generous, and wise. You should remember the householder, Hattaka of Alawi, as someone who has these seven amazing and incredible qualities. That is what the Buddha said. When he had spoken, the Holy One got up from his seat and entered his dwelling. Then a certain mendicant robed up in the morning and, taking his bowl and robe, went to the home of the householder, Hattaka of Alawi, where he sat on the seat spread out. Then Hattaka went up to that mendicant, bowed, and sat down to one side. The mendicant said to Hattaka, householder, the Buddha declared that you have seven amazing and incredible qualities. What seven? He said that you're faithful, ethical, conscientious, prudent, learned, generous, and wise. The Buddha declared that you have these seven amazing and incredible qualities. But, sir, I trust that no white-clothed lay people were present. No, there weren't any white-clothed lay people present. That's good, sir. Then that mendicant, after taking alms food in Hattaka of Alawi's home, got up from his seat and left. Then after the meal, on his return from alms round, he went to the Buddha, bowed, sat down to one side, and told him of what he had discussed with the householder, Hataka. The Buddha said, "Good, good, mendicant. That gentleman has few wishes. He doesn't want his own good qualities to be made known to others. Well then, mendicant, you should remember the householder, Hataka of Alawi, as someone who has this eighth amazing and incredible quality, that is, fewness of wishes." With Hataka, second, at one time the Buddha was staying near Alawi at the Agalava tree shrine. Then the householder, Hataka of Alawi, escorted by around 500 lay followers, went up to the Buddha, bowed, and sat down to one side. The Buddha said to Hataka, "Hataka, you have a large congregation. How do you bring together such a large congregation?" "Sir, I bring together such a large congregation by using the four ways of being inclusive as taught by the Buddha. When I know that a person can be included by a gift, I include them by giving a gift. When I know that a person can be included by kindly words, I include them by kindly words. When I know that a person can be included by taking care of them, I include them by taking care of them. When I know that a person can be included by equality, I include them by treating them equally. But also, sir, my family is wealthy. They wouldn't think that a poor person was worth listening to in the same way." "Good, good, Hataka. That is the right way to bring together a large congregation, whether in the past, future, or present. All those who have brought together a large congregation have done so by using these four ways of being inclusive." Then the Buddha, educated, encouraged, fired up and inspired Hataka of Alawi with a Dhamma talk, after which he got up from his seat, bowed and respectfully circled the Buddha before leaving. Then, not long after Hataka had left, the Buddha addressed the mendicants. "Mendicants, you should remember the householder, Hataka of Alawi, as someone who has eight amazing and incredible qualities." "What eight?" "He's faithful, ethical, conscientious, prudent, learned, generous, wise, and has few wishes. You should remember the householder, Hataka of Alawi, as someone who has these eight amazing and incredible qualities." With Mahanama, at one time the Buddha was staying in the land of the Sakyans near Kapilavatthu in the Banyan Tree Monastery. Then Mahanama the Sakyan went up to the Buddha, bowed, sat down to one side and said to him, "Sir, how is a lay follower defined?" "Mahanama, when you've gone for refuge to the Buddha, the teaching and the Sangha, you're considered to be a lay follower." "But how is an ethical lay follower defined?" "When a lay follower doesn't kill living creatures, steal, commit sexual misconduct, lie, or use alcoholic drinks that cause negligence, they're considered to be an ethical lay follower." "But how do we define a lay follower who is practicing to benefit themselves, not others?" "A lay follower is accomplished in faith, but doesn't encourage others to do the same. They're accomplished in ethical conduct, but don't encourage others to do the same. They're accomplished in generosity, but don't encourage others to do the same. They like to see the mendicants, but don't encourage others to do the same. They like to hear the true teaching, but don't encourage others to do the same. They readily memorize the teachings they've heard, but don't encourage others to do the same. They examine the meaning of the teachings they've memorized, but don't encourage others to do the same. Understanding the meaning and the teaching, they practice accordingly, but they don't encourage others to do the same. That's how we define a lay follower who is practicing to benefit themselves, not others. But how do we define a lay follower who is practicing to benefit both themselves and others? A lay follower is accomplished in faith and encourages others to do the same. They're accomplished in ethical conduct and encourage others to do the same. They're accomplished in generosity and encourage others to do the same. They like to see the mendicants and encourage others to do the same. They like to hear the true teaching and encourage others to do the same. They readily memorize the teachings they've heard and encourage others to do the same. They examine the meaning of the teachings they've memorized and encourage others to do the same. Understanding the meaning and the teaching, they practice accordingly, and they encourage others to do the same. That's how we define a lay follower who is practicing to benefit both themselves and others. With Jiwaka. At one time, the Buddha was staying near Rajagaha in Jiwaka's mango grove. Then Jiwaka Kumarabhatcha went up to the Buddha, bowed, sat down to one side and said to him, "Sir, how is a lay follower defined?" Jiwaka, "When you've gone for refuge to the Buddha, the teaching and the Sangha, you're considered to be a lay follower. But how is an ethical lay follower defined? When a lay follower doesn't kill living creatures, steal, commit sexual misconduct, lie, or use alcoholic drinks that cause negligence, they're considered to be an ethical lay follower. But how do we define a lay follower who is practicing to benefit themselves, not others? A lay follower is accomplished in faith, but doesn't encourage others to do the same. They're accomplished in ethical conduct, but don't encourage others to do the same. They're accomplished in generosity, but don't encourage others to do the same. They like to see the mendicants, but don't encourage others to do the same. They like to hear the true teaching, but don't encourage others to do the same. They memorize the teachings, but don't encourage others to do the same. They examine the meaning, but don't encourage others to do the same. Understanding the meaning and the teaching, they practice accordingly, but they don't encourage others to do the same. That's how we define a lay follower who is practicing to benefit themselves, not others. But how do we define a lay follower who is practicing to benefit both themselves and others? A lay follower is accomplished in faith and encourages others to do the same. They're accomplished in ethical conduct and encourage others to do the same. They're accomplished in generosity and encourage others to do the same. They like to see the mendicants and encourage others to do the same. They like to hear the true teaching and encourage others to do the same. They readily memorize the teachings they've heard and encourage others to do the same. They examine the meaning of the teachings they've memorized and encourage others to do the same. Understanding the meaning and the teaching, they practice accordingly and they encourage others to do the same. That's how we define a lay follower who is practicing to benefit both themselves and others.